It's great to be with you here this morning. That wasn't a very loud good morning. How about if we try that again? Good morning, Rhode Island. All right. I'm going to have you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to take a few moments this morning and look at this passage. As you're turning there, Rick mentioned that my kind of initial connection with you as a church is through Scott. And Scott and I were roommates all 4 years through college. And I'll just say one thing about Scott. I used to have hair, and it was blonde. Everything else is for another sermon, so we'll leave it at that. But Scott is a great guy, and over the last 10 years that Scott and Tracy have been part of the church here, I've been invited to be in some of your men's groups and got to know some of you, and so it's really a privilege to be here this morning to share God's word with you. So have you ever been going along in life and things are really going good and you're kind of feeling good and life is good and it seems to be moving in a really good direction. There's a rhythm of peace and happiness and satisfaction. And then, like a piece of tightly wound rope, thread by thread, things start to happen. Things start to unwind. Life seemed to be moving in a northern direction, and all of a sudden, the compass needle moves slowly south. And fear starts to set in, and anxiety begins to lead to despair. There's small uprisings in your mind of confusion and uncertainty, and at times, maybe even bleakness. Life all of a sudden seems to be falling apart, and you can't seem to find a place where you can get grounded again. I know for myself, I have found those feelings, those emotions in my own personal life. And I found that reality in my ministry life. And more recently, I seem to be feeling this sense of uneasiness again in my soul as I watch our world seemingly become unglued. Every morning as I watch the news, there seems to be something new that surfaces a moment of anxiety. Something new that brings about a little deeper sense of fear than the day before. We live in a world where every day we hear of new shootings, terrorism, and scandals, and war, and racist tensions, and natural disasters, and erratic leadership in high places. Maybe it's just me, but I find myself becoming more occupied with the what-ifs, and less occupied with the so-whats. When Jesus was preparing to leave this earth, he started to talk to his disciples about a world that was going to slowly wear away, a world that was going to slowly erode, a world that was going to slowly die. We can only imagine how this must have left his followers feeling. Having lived in the shadow and the security and the safety of Jesus himself, now all of a sudden there's discussions about a world that's going to eventually become dangerous. A world that's going to get to that place where it's on edge. A world that's just going to kind of become unplugged. Here in Matthew 24, Jesus doesn't pull any punches about the reality of this world that is tainted with sin. He's actually pretty upfront about the effects of sin and the decay that all of the world is going to experience. But more important than any of that, Jesus here in this chapter gives us some principles. Principles that we can hold on to, even as we watch our world unwind and decay. Listen to what he says. Beginning at verse 4, he says, in the midst of this decaying world reality, he says, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Five simple principles that we can kind of hold on to, five anchors that we can hold on to as Christ followers, even as our world decays more and more day by day. So first, in our decaying world, Jesus says this. He says, stay spiritually alert. Stay spiritually alert. You see that in verse 4. He says, see that no one leads you astray. One of the realities of living in a time such as ours is that everyone is really starting to look for answers. Everyone seems to be trying to make sense out of what is happening across our globe. There are authors, world leaders, psychologists, health gurus, philosophers, musicians, religious mavericks, and even Satan himself, who is out to promote their answers to the fears that are being awakened in our society. And Jesus says to us very clearly, he says, stay alert and be very, very careful that no one leads you astray. You see, the reality is that when fear arises, the world urges us to go to the self-help book aisle. When confusion rumbles, the world says, go and listen to the wisest and most educated minds. When panic sets in, the world says, go take a drink of this, or shoot this into your body, or lavish yourself in, and you fill in the blank. And Jesus comes along, and he sounds the trumpet, and he raises the red flag, and he says, stay vigilant, be alert, be watchful. But how does that flesh itself out in everyday life? I think one of the most crucial ways that we can stay spiritually alert is by being grounded in God's Word. When men are on a construction site and they're building away, and all of a sudden something doesn't feel right, something doesn't look right, something is causing the little parts not to fit together into the whole. What do those men do? They go back to the blueprints. staying spiritually alert in a decomposing world means that I've got to keep my mind saturated in the truth, because God's truth is to be like the plumb line of our lives. It's the standard that our Creator has put in place for our good and for our safety. Peter said in chapter 5 of his first epistle, he said, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, seeking someone to take down." To be sober-minded means to be clear-headed. It means to keep ourselves on guard. And so the question comes down to this morning. Am I daily preparing myself to be spiritually alert by being grounded in the truth of God's Word? The second principle that surfaces here in Matthew 24 is this, that in our decaying world, we must stay grounded in Jesus' peace and protection. It says in verse 6 of that 24th chapter, "And you will hear," Jesus says, "you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not alarmed." Now just think about that for a moment. Jesus is telling us some 2,000 years ago that things are going to happen just like we're witnessing on the evening news every night in this time, in this age. And yet he says, don't be alarmed. And my first thought is, are you kidding me? Don't be alarmed? Well, the Greek word for alarm there is thoreo, and it means to be troubled. It means to be frightened. And it's a word that describes emotional feelings that tend to surface, that tend to rise up when you've just heard some disturbing news. And Jesus is saying, listen, these kinds of world events, war and talk of war and all other kinds of tragedies that we see, listen, he says, they're going to surface. They're going to happen. They're going to come about. But because you're my child, because you're my own, because you live under my wings, you need not fear, you need not worry, you need not find your mind obsessed with harassing fear. Why? Jesus says, because I am your peace and I am your protection. You see, Jesus designed fear to be a faith revealer. The prophet says in Isaiah chapter 43, he says, "Do not be afraid," speaking on behalf of God. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you." In other words, I've bought you back. I've paid the price for your life. I have called you by name, and you are mine. And then the psalmist says in chapter 23 of the Psalms, he says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I need not be afraid, for you are close beside me." And then the psalmist says in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I fear? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? In our decaying world, Jesus says, stay alert and stay grounded in His peace and His protection. And then thirdly, He says, stay certain that God your Father is always in control. There in verse 7 it says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Now there's a really important three-letter word right there that we don't want to miss. Notice at the very beginning of verse 7 that Jesus says, for. And essentially Jesus is saying, I want you to know that I know. I want you to know that I know. I want you to know that I've already walked through all of your tomorrows, and I know what's there, and I know what's going on in every part of the world, in every administration, in every climate zone, in every boardroom, in every war room, in every terrorist backroom. I know what's going on. For. He says, listen, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom is going to rise against kingdom, and there's going to be famines, and there are going to be earthquakes. There's going to be conflicts, confrontations, struggles, crusades, opposition, hate, fraud, falsehood. But take heart, because these are just the beginning of what? Birth pains. In other words, these are just signs. Signs that are leading up to my return so that I can take you home to be with me. You see, God never says, oof, I didn't see that coming. God never says that. God is sovereign. In fact, we just sang that this morning. God is sovereign, which means he's aware of all things at all times, and nothing ever takes him by surprise. In Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet writes this. He says, haven't you heard? Don't you understand? God sits above the circle of the earth. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one of them is missing. This is the God that we're here proclaiming this morning. This is the God that we're here worshiping today. This is the God who has this personal relationship with us because of Jesus. He's on our side. Someone has said this, God is more interested in declaring than explaining. You see, we need not fear because our heavenly dad is super strong and super wise and super protective and super in love with us as his children. And then in our decaying world, fourthly, we need to be anchored, to stay anchored in our faith. It says in verse 12 and 13, it says, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You see, love is always the aroma. Love is always the fragrance of genuine faith. Faith without love is like a body without oxygen. Jesus is saying here that as our world decays, lawlessness, chaos, mayhem, anarchy is going to take root, and it's going to just continue to grow in power and in strength and in force. And as that does, love could be put on the chopping block. There's that possibility. As chaos and turmoil increase, there's a real possibility that my love for Jesus might just begin to fade. And when my love for Jesus fades, I no longer have a place in my heart for those who are far from Jesus. When my love fades for people who vote differently than I do, there's no longer any connection that we can have. My love fades for people who don't look just like me when I turn and in fear and kind of walk away and hide. My love fades for people who are haters. My love fades for people who are killers. My love fades for the very people who Jesus died on the cross for. That's what's at stake here. And this is why Jesus says that endurance to the end is essential. It's indispensable. It's crucial. Martin Luther King once said this, and I think it really nails this point. It says, darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. Lastly, in our decaying world, Jesus says, stay assured that God the Father's perfect plan is going to prevail. He says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Though our world is decaying and imploding and breaking down day by day, we as Christ followers can know with certainty, that redemption and deliverance and liberation and salvation will continue to be unleashed. It will continue to be discharged. It will continue to be circulated in such a way that in the darkness and in the evil and in the malice, a light will always shine. A light will always shine. You see, this is the glory. This is the brilliance. This is the purpose of the gospel message. In the end, darkness will not win. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 21, when speaking about our new home, he says essentially, to those who endure, to those who stay spiritually alert, to those who keep loving, to those who stay grounded in the truth, Jesus says this, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, he says, I am making everything new. So in closing, treasure Jesus. Treasure Jesus above everything else in your life. Treasure his salvation from sin. Treasure his word. Treasure the peace that he offers. Treasure the opportunities that you have to be his light in this dark world. And most importantly, treasure your heavenly home where all things will be made new.